wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
I have a plain and practical answer to this big question. How can I be born again? Get this one thing straight. People of one kind or another are claiming that they've been born again until the confusion of claims is perplexing and the average person wonders who is right and who is wrong. Let me give you a good rule that will sieve out the pretenders. When a person is really born again, as the Bible teaches, then he receives a divine nature, a divine life, and a divine power. This reveals itself in everyone who experiences this heavenly birth by a life of godliness, by a life of victory over sin, and by an inward energy that makes one on fire for God, wanting to do something for the Lord. This is the real Bible regeneration. But when folks claim they're born again, and they do not seek first the things of God, but live for themselves, they do not live lives of victory over sin, but are still slaves to their old habits, and they have no inward desire or urge that makes them want to work for the Lord, but instead they don't see anything to do, and try to get out of doing what others suggest to them. Such are not born again Christians, but they're just old sinners, and as dead as a telegraph pole. Instead of boasting about being born again, they do not know what's all about. Now, if I'm speaking about you, neighbor, I'm here to tell you, ye must be born again. This kind may sit under orthodox teachers, or they may freely discuss Bible doctrines, or talk about prophecy with the intellectual clarity of a professor, and the arguments of a lawyer, but when it comes to a godly life, or inward initiative to work for the Lord, just count them out. Why? They are as dead as a corpse in a casket, and they need to be born again. This personal experience with the Lord they do not have. And now I want to show you just how you can be born again, born of God. Do some of you say, "Preacher, now make it plain and practical"? God helping me, I will. Having established from God's word the doctrine, the structural framework of the new birth, I shall now give you examples of this experience in the hearts and lives of men. First, we shall take a look at the camp of Israel. Our Lord gave us this example of the new birth in his words. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He took this incident out of all the Old Testament scriptures as the clearest to show just how a person could receive this new life, this eternal life. In this we shall clearly see both God's part and our part. To do so, let us put ourselves back in the camp of Israel in the wilderness. Because of Israel's sin, God has sent deadly serpents into the camp. We will take one man. We'll call him Mr. Judah. Big and strong, he starts out of his tent. A snake bites him. He kills it, but still he's bitten. And though he might try to ignore it, yet he is bitten and dying, as that poison enters every fiber of his being. Just so, every one of us is bitten with sin, sin that worketh death. Some may try to argue about it, but the ghastly truth cannot be argued away. Some try to bandage it over and mollify it with ointment, but the awful pus and stench of sin makes its presence undeniable. Neighbor, face the fact of sin and do something about it. Well, there lies Mr. Judah, bitten and dying. We can each one see ourselves as sin had mastered us and we were helpless and hopeless. Only God can meet such a need. Then God steps in his love and mercy. The Israelites asked Moses to pray God to take away the serpents, but what good would that do men who were already bitten? Man's wisdom, as man's religion, always fails to meet the sinner's need. Sinner, God knows just what you need. Take God's remedy. First, a serpent of brass was to be lifted up on a pole high where all could see it. A serpent, yes, the image of the awful deadly thing. What a picture this is of Christ being made sin for us, made a curse for us on Calvary's cross. Then the message of hope, the gospel of mercy, was to be carried to every bitten person, none others, that God had said that it would come to pass that everyone who was bitten, when he looked to the serpent on the pole, he would instantly live. I see a lad run to our Mr. Judah as he hears his agonizing groans, as that deadly poison is gaining control of him. The lad tells him the good news. Now suppose Mr. Judah said, "Lad, I cannot understand how my looking to that serpent would take this deadly poison out of me and I would live." All the lad could say would be, "I don't understand it either, but Mr. Judah, God said it, and he always does what he says, doesn't he?" If mortal man is going to wait until he can understand the physics of the divine miracle of the new birth before he will look to Christ and experience it, then he will never look. It is a miracle, and only God can understand it. It is the divine answer to a human need. You are to look in faith that God will keep his word and do the work. Suppose Mr. Judah said, "But lad, I'm dying. I cannot do anything. I'm too weak." The lad would say, "You don't have to work. You don't have to even go to the pole. Just look." Then the lad, finding Mr. Judah's head turned away from the pole, would turn his head so his eyes could see. And then, pointing with his finger to the serpent on the pole, he would say, "Look, Mr. Judah, look, and you will live." And when that dying man looked, that very second, that in faith his eyes beheld the serpent on the pole, he lived. No longer dead, he had a new life. A divine miracle had taken place within him. In this gospel ministry, I want to be that little lad to you. You have your head turned the wrong way. For some of you have been looking to your church, or to your good works, or your baptism for salvation and life. I want to turn you from all these, and like John who cried, "Behold the Lamb of God who beareth away the sin of the world," I would point you to Christ and plead with you to look to him and live. But I cannot look for you. No one can. You must look for yourself, and you can if you will. In all my 60 years of gospel ministry, I have never had any altar calls, but I have pointed concerned souls to Jesus, the living Lord and Savior, as I urge them to seek the Lord and call upon him as their own act as they get alone with God. And I have never gotten them to read a verse and then tell them to claim salvation. Nor have I told them that they were saved and should count themselves saved. I realize that salvation is of the Lord, and it is the working of the Holy Spirit. And when they are saved, he, the Spirit of God, will bear his witness within them that they are God's children, that they have been born again. Some are self-deceived, and many are preacher-deceived. God forbid that I should be such a preacher. Again, I repeat, you must look to Christ for yourself. I cannot look for you. If now you deeply feel your sin and need, will you not right now fall on your knees and look up to heaven? Your Savior who died on Calvary for your sins, he's up there in heaven, alive forevermore. Look to him to be your Lord and Savior. Your tears may be many and your words few, but just look to him in faith. He will understand and he will give you that new life. Now for example number two. In speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God and there's none else, a just God and a Savior." At Calvary we see three criminal crosses. The middle cross bore the Savior, God's Son, bleeding, dying as he took our place, that he might give us his place of acceptance with God. On a cross at his side was a wicked criminal, a dying sinner, spiked hand and foot, and unable to walk or to work, but not unable to look. That man became so convicted of his sin, so alarmed over his hopeless death and awful eternity, that he, as at the end of his rope,
turned his eyes to Jesus with that look of faith as he choked out these words, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He could look, and he did look, and instantly he lived, for a divine miracle took place, and he was born of God. He could now rest in the assuring word of his newfound Lord and Savior. "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Neighbor, my prayer for you is that you too shall come to the end of your rope today, and in your deep despair you will look in faith to your living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You cannot work to save your soul. You cannot walk to please God, but you can look to Jesus Christ to save you. Look, neighbor, look and live. Now, for example number 3, we shall take Nicodemus, the man to whom our Lord talked about being born again. In this example, we shall see the new birth as through a slow-motion camera. Nicodemus was dissatisfied. He had tried to live right. He had tried all that religion could offer, but still he knew that something was missing, something big, something vital. And some of you feel that way too now, don't you? And so Nicodemus came to Jesus. He sought help. But as Jesus talked to him, he was dumbfounded. What, a grown man be born? How could it be? He listened to the divine word, "I say unto you, ye must be born again." He began to realize what it would mean to him as he reasoned, "Then all that I've ever done is worthless. I must resign it all and take the place of any other sinner." That night, as Nicodemus left the Lord, he was won. He knew that the Lord was right. Many are so today. They are won, but not saved. "For years I was won, but not saved." Many a man with a godly wife has been won by her godly life to know that Christ alone is the answer to all human need, but yet he has never come to Christ with his own need and was saved. We next see Nicodemus at the religious council meeting. They bring up the case of Jesus of Nazareth, and Nicodemus is so won for Christ that he speaks up. They scorn him, and the council adjourns. But still, Nicodemus lacks that born-again experience. He is near the kingdom, like some of you, but he is not in it. And then our Lord is taken to Calvary, and in that crowd stands Nicodemus. Let us watch this divine miracle as this divine miracle takes place. See the life-giving Word and the Holy Spirit at work. As Nicodemus watches Jesus dying in agony and blood, he remembers those words Jesus had spoken to him that night. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Nicodemus knew well that Old Testament record. But what did this mean? "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." Lifted up. What was that? These questions remained as puzzles until Nicodemus stood that day before Calvary, standing there with the Word of God filling his memory. The Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit gave divine light. "See, Nicodemus, Jesus is that Son of Man. See him lifted up on the cross. Look to him. Believe on him, and you will have this eternal life." Nicodemus did, and he was born of God, a new man. Oh, how he could have sung, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. Now, no longer timid, he is changed. And boldly he gets 100 pounds of myrrh and goes with Joseph of Arimathea, and they take down the body of Jesus in loving tenderness before a mad and scorning crowd. Oh, what a change in Nicodemus. With these examples and witnesses before you, I plead with you, each one of you, look away from all else to the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and you will be changed. You will be born again. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ with that first, that look of conscious helplessness and need. The look that says, "Lord Jesus, I'm lost, I'm dead. Thou art my only hope." Second, look to the Lord Jesus with that look of faith and expectancy. The look that says, "Lord Jesus, I will trust thee, and I know thou wilt save me." Neighbor, you may look. The opportunity is yours today as God holds before you the life-giving Savior, his Son, Jesus. You can look. You have the God-given ability to look and live. But here is the snag, the roadblock. It is your will. Will you look to the Lord Jesus alone to save and change you? I assure you that if you will now turn your eyes to the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, you shall see in His face such love and grace toward you. You will experience this. I look to Jesus, my sin and guilt confessing. He looked on me, and we were one forever, one with Christ, born of the Spirit, and made God's child forever. This is being born again, born of God. May it be your experience this very day, this very hour. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God through His bondservant, David Brinkman.